Hey, it's Whiteley. Heading to meet Wheeler now for an episode of Yolitics. It's unlike any of them we've ever done in the past. We're not going to a brewery for this episode. We're going to somebody's house. And we've all heard of people who threaten to leave the country if someone gets elected. Well, for the first time, I'm going to meet somebody who is actually leaving the country. And she says she's doing it because Donald Trump got elected. She comes from a family of Donald Trump fans, but she is taking off. She's moving to Europe. She's already met with the real estate agent. She's already boxing things up. She even had the real estate agent come out and take pictures yesterday. So she says, come to the house. It's clean. We have a lot of questions for her. Why go to this much trouble for 4 years of someone in the White House? So we're going to ask her that a lot more. Let's see if Wheeler shows up on time.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Yolitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, so we made it to Fort Worth. And
I finally made it, too.
Yeah, Wheeler showed up late, of course, but he is here.
It wasn't for lack of effort, I can tell you that. Let me just say, for people who live in other parts of Texas, and even people who live in North Texas, I don't go from Dallas to Fort Worth often, even though I love the vibe in Fort Worth so much more.
So why don't you go then?
So when you make that trip, it's like, first of all, you do like 15 exchanges of roadways. It's like, can't we just have one freeway that just goes, you know, straight across and puts you right in there? So you go through all these things, and by the time you get to Fort Worth, you feel like you should be seeing signs for like Phoenix. Like, it seems like it's been this really long trip by the time you get here.
Wow,
but it was,
man,
worth it.
Somebody woke up happy this morning.
I wake up happy every day.
Let's bring in our guest, because I spoke about her just a moment ago. Jana Sanchez has been kind enough to invite us into her house. This is the first episode we've ever done in a home.
It is.
Welcome to my
home.
I
hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, so you're home for a little while longer.
A little while longer.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But let me, I bought Wheeler some beer on the way over. And it's from our friends at Wild Acre. They have a fantastic.
They're here in Fort Worth.
They're in Fort. Come on, dude.
We're going to have to go there soon.
But I got this one. This is the Sundance Wheat. And it's brewed with Texas oranges, because I know how much Wheeler likes.
Texas oranges from down in the Rio Grande Valley.
I'm going to have one of these as well. Jana has work to do today.
I do.
And so she said that she
funny
would pass
thing,
on it. We're actually working right now.
Yeah, funny thing is, we have a lot of work today to do.
This is, we've had Wild Acre before. Mm. We had them recently, but this is good stuff. Mm. A little slice of mischief making.
I like that. That's my motto in life.
From the 817.
And it's called the Sun Dance Wheat.
Is it
good? It is very refreshing. It's nice. It's a good.
You can smell the oranges immediately.
Yeah, you do. But it's just got that hint. And this is a nice summer beer. And it seems like it's still summer anyway, kind of. So, you know.
This is the best time. 75 degrees outside.
It's perfect.
So let's get into this, because, Jana, I've been doing politics for years now. I've always heard people threaten they're going to leave the country. I'm leaving if so-and-so gets elected.
Yeah.
I've never actually met someone who's going to leave. And so I was flipping through Facebook the other night. This is probably post number 9 for you, or day 4 or 5. And I'm like, wow, Jana serious about this? And you were like, the realtor's coming over and all this other stuff. I'm going to miss my garden out back.
It's a nice garden, too.
Thank you.
What? You did a lot of work on that.
I did a lot of work.
Yeah, well, you put
it.
A lot of work into the house here in Fort Worth. It's for sale, by the way.
Yes.
But wow, you're really going to do this?
I'm really going to
because
do
of Trump's election?
Yes, absolutely. So I have to say that I'm a little bit different than other people in that I lived 18 years of my adult life in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I've lived in the Netherlands, I've lived in the UK, and in fact, I only came back home in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been here almost 10 years now. And earlier in the year, especially right after Biden's disastrous debate, I was like, okay, I'm getting out.
So that's when you decided?
That was the first time. That was like when I said, and I've been telling people for the last year, you should have an exit strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go into why I think you need an exit strategy now, if you're a liberal, and especially a mouthy one like me. But then, of course, Kamala came onto the scene, and like many people, I thought everything changed, and it would be very, very safe, and everything was going to be wonderful, and we were going to have this resurgence. So I sort of forgot about leaving after that. And my husband, who's Dutch, was planning to come here, but of course he doesn't want to come now. So I want to go and he doesn't want to come here. So it makes sense for me to go there.
Can you talk just a little bit about why it is that you feel this visceral need? You have this existential threat right now.
Yeah.
What do you foresee here for people who are still here?
Let me, maybe I'll give you some background if that's okay.
Yeah.
In 2016, you know, I'd only been back in the States for almost 2 years when Trump was elected. And at that time, all of my friends, I remember election night very vividly, they all said, get out of there. You can't live in a country that would elect someone like Trump. Are you guys crazy? Like, what's going on? Like, get out, come back to Europe. And at the time, I still had a really strong belief in democracy. And I believed that this was just an aberration. He didn't win the popular vote. I thought it would be possible to resist. I was a member of the resistance. And I felt hopeful about democracy.
And you felt like you could even still change things because you ran for office as a Democrat for Congress.
I did. I ran for office as a Democrat. I gave up my income, basically, for 2 years. I gave up my health. It was really, really hard to run in that district. And I learned a lot, of course, as well. But at the end, you know, I realized how difficult it is to change things in a place like Texas. Mm-hmm. And then things have only gotten worse between, you know, trying essentially defunding the education system through the threat of vouchers, obviously the abortion restrictions, removing bodily autonomy from women. I mean, that's a big blow. All of this is part of a very classic fascist agenda. And I know we throw those words around, fascist, communist, but there are two views on what just happened. It's either a 1980s realignment, which, I mean, it changed things, but we got over it, right? We moved back and we had a democratic system. Or this is 1933 Germany, and we aren't going to be able to come back from this. So take your pick which view you think it is, but I personally have lost faith in the democratic process for sorting out the issues. The main reason being the movement of younger people and people of color towards Trump in an election when the economy was great. There's no comparison between the two candidates. You've got one who's highly educated, very competent, says intelligent things, and one who's standing up at a rally and talking about Arnold Palmer's penis and, you know, performing fellatio on a mic stand. I mean, these are not comparable candidates. So I decided that, you know, the movement away from the Democratic Party and the democratic process is in full swing. So I no longer have confidence that it will swing back.
People listening to this will say, well, it was democratic. Mm-hmm. People voted.
Yeah, it was.
This was the will of the voters.
Yes,
it was. What do you say to that, though?
I say the voters have really gone down a very dark path in which they celebrate the rounding up and deportation of immigrants, who, by the way, we need desperately for our labor system. So I think that that's going to be highly inflationary, in addition to being cruel and inhumane. I mean, he's just appointed a puppy murderer to the Department of Homeland Security to head that.
Kristi Noem, the governor.
Yeah.
South Dakota.
Yeah, so I don't feel good about my fellow Americans right now.
But let me ask you this. When was the point that you decided you're calling your husband saying, I'm leaving, I'm moving?
Election night. He was here, actually. So
he was here.
Yes.
And so you saw the results come in. I think, you know, Donald Trump didn't declare victory until middle of the night. But you saw how things were shaping up.
Yeah.
And what did you say to him?
Well, it was really easy. I was like, well, I guess you're not coming here now, and I'm going there. And he was here. He was smoking a cigar out in the back with the fire going. And he's like, okay, good. Like, he didn't want to come here anyway.
But when you woke up the next morning, you didn't say, I don't want to uproot everything.
No, I even felt 100% certain that I'm doing the right thing.
Your mind was made up.
Mind was made up. Keep in mind, I only sort of forgot about it for the last 4 months since Kamala was the likely nominee and then the nominee. Before that, I spent the last year thinking, well, you know, if Trump gets elected, I've got to get out. Mm-hmm. So
the house is already up for sale?
Not quite, but okay. I've had the photographer has been in, the language has been drafted. We've got a little few things to do, like painting the window seals and things like that.
Well, it's a beautiful place, too, by the way, for anybody who's considering buying. What's it,
1930s? 1937. I think it's called Tudor Revival.
All redone inside.
With the swoop roof, yeah. Yeah, and I think the main thing that my realtor says will sell it are the enormous amounts of native plant gardens that I've built around the house, which were not here when I bought it in 2022.
It's really nice out there.
Thank you.
So from there, you go to, you know, perhaps tulip gardens because you're headed to Holland.
Sort of.
You lived there, you worked there for many years.
Yes.
Do you feel, I don't know, is this a bittersweet thing for you, though, as you head out to the exits here? I mean, I know that you're a big fan of Holland. Your husband is from that area. But is it bittersweet to leave this behind?
So to be honest, I don't love Holland because of the weather. I have a lot of friends there, and obviously my husband's there. So we have a plan to split the year. So the cold months we'll spend in Spain, and the warm months we'll spend in Holland.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good plan.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Sounds good.
Give us your new address so we can do our first foreign episode with you as well. But what have your friends said, Jana, about this? Because I've seen on Facebook, and they're like, oh, you know, I hope you don't do this, hope you don't go. You know, we wish you weren't going. What have your close friends said?
They're really split. So anybody who knows me probably figured out that I was going to go. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, anybody who's stayed in close contact with me knows that I always plan to go if this happened. And there are a lot of people among my Facebook friends who want to go but don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And they have a more difficult system or situation than I do.
Right.
It's much easier for me since my husband's Dutch. And
you have dual citizenship, right?
I do, actually. Well, sort of. That's debatable. Because I was gone so long. No. And you don't have an automatic right to renewal. Mm-hmm. So, but they tell me that I do. I just don't have a passport, so we'll figure it out. But I definitely have the right to live there because of my husband. Now, the other thing is that most of my friends, the vast majority, are messaging me going, how do I get out? Like, what is my plan? How do I go?
Are they serious?
They're very serious.
These aren't just people going, oh, come on, I want to go too.
No, they're very serious. But the problem for most of them, well, there are two or three problems. One is, can they work from abroad? Mm-hmm. I can. So far, my clients have all been supportive, and I can continue to do my work from there.
You're in communications?
I'm in communications. I have independent clients. I mostly work for academic leaders and startups, so they've all been great with this. So the second thing is, they don't have any right to go somewhere else. People have said to me, oh, I'm getting my passport in case I have to leave. I'm like, that's not going to help you much. Like, you still have to get a visa to go somewhere, right? So that makes it easier for me. And a lot of people just don't know how to do it. Also, people have family and friends that they just can't be away from. If you've got children and grandchildren, you're far less likely to just take off, right?
Right.
So it's really, for other people, I think it's much more difficult than it is for me. I realize that it's easy, but I am helping people. I'm sharing information. I'm doing a Facebook Live this weekend with a woman who left Dallas 2 years ago. She calls herself a Trump refugee. Actually, they call themselves a Trump refugee in Portugal. So Portugal has one of the easiest systems, especially for retirees, to be able to come there and retire there with a visa.
And she left because of politics in
yes.
the U.S.?
Well, she left after Uri because she's like, I'm living in a state where everybody's becoming increasingly more conservative and they can't even keep the lights on. Like, it just really scared her. Mm-hmm. So she went there and she loves it. And she lives in northern Portugal in Braga. And she went with her husband and her son, her adult son, and they just love it. They're so happy there. So I'm going to do a live Facebook Live with her because so many of my friends are saying, I want to go, but I don't know what to do. Where do I start? Mm-hmm. So I'm helping them.
So you're going to lay that out then, because I saw after the election, I think Google announced that the searches for how do I move abroad just skyrocketed. I'm sure Wheeler has these percentages
15,000%
here. Is that what it was?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. And
what is it, Wheeler?
Interestingly, moving to the Netherlands, which Holland is a part of the Netherlands, moving to the Netherlands was up 3,233% that search. Let's see. The biggest one was moving to New Zealand from the U.S.
Yeah.
This is according to Visa Guide, a website that talks to people about how to do this. They said moving to New Zealand from the U.S. Was up 7,600% from before when Trump won. But, I mean, it goes through all these different countries, and it's up for a lot of countries. A lot of people, as you mentioned, just don't really know the process for how to do this. But these are people who are serious enough that on November 6th, they went and pulled up a laptop or a desktop and started, you know, punching this in and figuring out, you know, what's my exit strategy.
I mean, a lot of people are very serious about it. A lot of people are looking at Costa Rica, where you can buy property.
That's on the list.
Because you have a property, you're allowed to stay. Yeah. A lot of people are looking at Mexico as well. And I mean, I would love either of those places, but they're more expensive than Spain, for instance, where I'll be buying a place in Spain, assuming I sell my house.
Jenna, what have your friends said? Not your friends. What have your family said about this? Because you have some different political beliefs.
I certainly do. Well, so first of all, I haven't really spoken to my Trump supporting family. I've had a few fights on Facebook and blocked some of them. I haven't really spoken with most of my family about this. My sister, who lives here in Fort Worth and who's progressive and is very upset about the election, first of all says, well, we'll really miss you. And secondly, I wish I could afford to go. I wish I could get out. But most people can't. I mean, most people, it's not realistic for them to go somewhere else.
Is it hard to leave her?
Well, I will miss her. But I wouldn't stay just to hang out with her because I do feel it's going to be unsafe.
You think so?
Yes, I do. And by the way, I don't think I'm necessarily the person it's going to be unsafe for, but I'm a very empathetic person, and I'm very distressed by the racism, the very casual racism that's become predominant in our culture. And I do feel unsafe.
And you mentioned a couple times about the cost to move over there. What is the physical cost going to be for you?
So not a lot. I'm very lucky because my husband, it's a funny story, but my husband and I were married from 2000, 2014. We divorced. I moved back home. And then we got back together a few years ago. So I'm a highly unusual case in that. So the house that we bought together and renovated together, he owns. So I'm just moving into his house. That's very straightforward. That's very easy. Some of the difficulties are the dogs, because I have two dogs. Who are not crate trained, barely trained in any way, and who I have to get to there on KLM with in a big crate.
Yeah.
So I'm nervous about that.
Maybe with some tranquilizing help.
You're not allowed.
Oh no.
No, okay. You're not allowed to tranquilize them.
Are there like visa charges and other things like that?
For me, not. For other people, yes. Mm-hmm. So if you needed a visa to go to Portugal, which is again the easiest visa is Portugal for if you're retiree or if you have passive income. It's the cheapest, easiest visa.
And that's like a 2 or 3 year visa, I believe. Isn't that what it is?
I think you get it renewed every year or two, but eventually you get a passport. You get a EU passport. But it's so easy because you don't have to have a high income. Most people's Social Security payments would be enough proof of income to live there. And you can work when you get the visa. And you get health care. So older people are obviously very concerned about health care.
Sure.
So with Portugal, that's a fairly easy visa. A lot of people are looking at Spain, which is more expensive because you have to have a higher income level to go there. You can't work and you don't get health care.
What would you say to Trump supporters here who would cheer this move and say, don't let the door hit you on the way out. We're glad to see you go and we wish you'd take everybody who's like-minded with you.
I mean, they're entitled to their point of view. You know, they're clearly in charge now, and it's their country.
There's a wave of populism, though, sweeping across the EU as well.
Yes.
I mean, we watch what's happening in Germany with the AfD, the Alternative for Germany, which is the populist party, the far-right party, and it won a majority of seats in the Bundestag. Aren't you concerned that this might happen in Europe as well?
Yes, I'm very concerned. I don't actually believe anywhere in the world is safe with Trump in power. I think Europe is vulnerable because of his close whatever it is with Putin. Mm-hmm. And I think basically handing over the Crimea to Putin is just going to give him a lot of power and a lot of strength in terms of countering the democratic forces within Europe. I have been very concerned about the anti-immigrant rhetoric within Europe as well and the way that that has affected these populist far-right parties to get elected. So yes, I am concerned about it. I don't think any place is safe. I do feel personally safer living in a place like Holland where I'm around friends who all agree with me. We all have very similar political views. And also I think having like the outlet of Spain and the Netherlands, like having two places just makes me feel safer as well.
You have options.
I have options, yeah.
What would you say to people who think like you do, though, and who are like-minded, and who would say, wait, Janet, don't leave. Don't leave us here. Yeah. Stay. Stay in the fight. Stay in the resistance. We need you. You're going to make this harder.
I've had several people message me personally and say, don't you dare leave. You can't abandon us. Like, you've done so much. You know, you've made such a difference here. Please don't leave. And what I say to them is, in 2016, I felt hopeful. I sacrificed a lot. And in the end, it meant nothing. So all of the work that I did, all of the organizing that I did, all of the sacrifices that I came to nothing. So if you want to keep organizing, I go ahead, but I feel like it's unsafe. I no longer believe that we will have a truly democratic system where people can oppose and people can, win anything. You know, I don't actually believe that democracy has a very bright future in America.
Do you think that's going to look subtle, or do you think that that's going to be something that hits people in the face?
I think everything will hinge on the midterms. So I do believe we will have midterms. And if Democrats are able to take back the Senate, possibly the House, I don't know what's exactly whether the House has actually been settled yet or not. But if Democrats are able to take back those two things, there might be hope. But if they don't, there's zero hope. I mean, I really believe very firmly that, the forces that supported J.D. Vance, especially because I think Trump is old and senile and will probably be out of office with the 25th Amendment within a few years at the longest. I mean, he's clearly senile and demented. I don't believe he will be around, but I think that the forces that propelled him to office will continue. There's not really, I don't see a way back. And especially in a place like Texas that is so heavily gerrymandered. And if you have a candidate like Beto and like Colin Allred and they can't win, I mean, who are we going to get?
So you think that if Democrats don't win big in the midterms that are coming up in 26, you don't think there will be a legitimate sort of democratic process in 28?
Correct.
You don't think so?
No, I do not. And I understand that that sounds like an extreme point of view. And that most people will say, oh, these things come and go, there are swings back. But that's why I said it's either 1980, and there will continue to be a democratic process. It will just take a while to rebuild the democratic coalition. Or it's 1933 Germany, mm-hmm. and the power that is now invested in the oligarchs who surround Trump and in Trump will prevail. I mean, the Supreme Court has basically said Trump can commit whatever crime he wants and there's no repercussion. There are no guardrails.
And to your point on the 1930s era Germany, things looked normal to a lot of people until they didn't anymore. And it was pretty quick.
I mean, there's a very scary parallel. I mean, you simply look, I mean, Hitler was jailed, but he got out early, and then he came back to power, and people supported his election, despite the fact that he'd launched an insurrection against the state. It's a parallel. I don't see how you cannot see a parallel there. But my hopeful friends, my optimistic friends say, it's just 1980. It's just a realignment. The Republicans are going to be in power for 12 years. It may take Democrats that long to get back. I just don't think so.
And you're saying, I hope you're right, but I'm going to watch this from Holland.
I really hope they're right. I no longer have in me the fight to take the risk. So running for office was very hard. Organizing and continually losing, it just takes a lot out of you. And I don't mean me personally losing. That's not the big deal. I feel like women lose. I feel like people of color lose. I absolutely feel devastated for the immigrants in our country who are going to be put in concentration camps and deported in what promises to be a very brutal crackdown as soon as he's inaugurated.
Let's talk about 1980 for a moment, because Democrats got romped, and mm-hmm. they got romped last Tuesday as well too.
Yeah,
but I think
not as badly actually. I think
true. 80 was a lot worse, but sure. But I think what's different this time is that Democrats lost ground in Texas mm-hmm. and nationally.
Yeah.
Where do you think things went wrong for Democrats in this last cycle?
So I think that the Democratic coalition has really broken down. Basically, the only people who are left in the Democratic Party now are well-educated people of all races and colors, and most of the Black community of all income levels and education levels. We're basically now a very much a minority party. So I don't feel optimistic about that coalition winning anything.
Do you blame the Democrats, though, for not being able to get a better coalition? Well, I look back at 2008 and look and see what happened in 2008 with the message that Obama had, and he had it again in 16 and kind of eked that one out at the last minute, a lot 12. Of people thought.
I mean, there's clearly a battle going on in the Democratic Party about how do we react to this. I hear, you know, I have friends from all levels of the spectrum. You know, you have the young progressive angle saying we have to go back after the working class white vote.
What do they need to do, though? What do you think? Because you've run for office, you've been around for a moment, you counsel a lot of people on communications. What do you think that the Democratic Party needs to do right now? The chair in Texas said, I'm not going to run again. We need to have new blood in here. Mm-hmm. And nationally, the Democrats are kind of all over the place. They're kind of out on the pasture by themselves. What should the party do?
I guess if I understood what the party could do to fix itself and to fix the process, I wouldn't be leaving the country. Mm-hmm. So clearly, part of my calculation is there's no easy answer to this. It's not, you know, it's not so much as having a charismatic candidate. I mean, I think Harris was a brilliant candidate. And some of it, in my mind, is clearly sexism and racism, or misogyny and racism. But, you know, where do you go from this? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel hopeless about the Democratic Party right now. I'm very happy that Chairman Hinojosa is stepping down. That's a very good move. It's time for new blood. It's time for somebody who's a true leader who can raise money and organize the party, and that will help. That will be essential for even holding on to what we have now. But how do Democrats go back to that, even the Clinton coalition, much less the Obama coalition? I mean, how do we get back there? I don't see it.
If somebody comes up with that answer, though, and they seem to gain some steam, some momentum, would you work from afar to try to help, or are you done?
I could absolutely work from afar to help if that were the case. If there's something I can do to help, then I would. But, you know, I wouldn't come back even if Democrats won again. I mean, there are a lot of things that are just wrong with our country. I mean, healthcare I have not been more shocked by anything than the cost of healthcare since I've returned to the States. Mm. With health insurance, you're paying ridiculous co-payments, ridiculous premiums, you know, ridiculous amounts of, you know, what do you call it? Till your deductible. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Basically, even people with health insurance here are self-insuring because they're paying thousands of dollars a month. Mm-hmm. I'm an extremely healthy person. I've had almost nothing wrong with me. And I find the cost stupid. Mm-hmm. And people love that for some reason. Like, people are like, oh, this is great. We have the best healthcare in the world. Not true.
They love it, but yeah, they can't get out from underneath it politically. Yeah. And that's a good point for that. When are you hoping to be in Holland physically?
Well, if my house sells quickly, then I could be there within a couple of months. If it takes, the realtor said it should take 90 to 120 days. If it takes that long, then it'll be 5 months. But I'll go as soon as the house sells and closes. Then I'll pack up the dogs and their new crates I have to buy and get them on the plane and we'll go.
And what else have you already done to get ready for that? You've had the realtor come by, you're doing repairs at the house, the realtor's photographers come by. What other steps have you, concrete steps have you done?
So I'm selling my gun. I put that on the market and I have found a buyer who's transferring the money today, and I'm going to meet her and hand over the gun because you can't take a gun to Holland. Mm. I have contacted all my clients to let them know that I'm leaving the country. I've done a lot of list making of things that I need to sell because taking them is too much difficulty.
Like
my car. I debated whether I should transport my car or whether I should sell it and buy a new car when
I'm
there.
It's easier just to leave it here and start over.
In the end, that was the decision I made, that it's easier to leave it here and start over. Excuse me. And, you know, all my electronic stuff, you know, I have to sell all of that. So I've had to, I'm making an inventory of what I need to sell. I am, and again, a lot of my focus is on helping other people figure out how they can get out if they want to get out.
So. Boy, I bet you never thought that you would be doing this, you know, especially after you had come back here to go through this sort of unraveling of a whole life and a beginning of a new one.
Well, I'm somebody who's moved a lot in my life. I'm really comfortable with change, and I think that also is something that makes me really different from other people. You know, I've moved countries several times in my life, back and forward between the Netherlands and the UK, back and forth between Europe and the US. So I think it's, for me, it doesn't feel as strange and as maybe a little bit crazy as it would for somebody else.
Yeah, I think it helps to have that muscle memory of doing something like this, because it takes away the fear of doing it, because you're like, oh, I've done this, I've been down this road.
Yeah.
As you leave, do you have a parting message for Republicans and a parting message for Democrats?
Well, for Republicans, I would ask them to like reach into their background and their upbringing and question whether or not the kind of language that's being used against immigrants and people of color is really in keeping with their value system, because in my mind, it's not. And it's certainly not Christian-like, which most of these people say they are. For Democrats, I mean, I tell my friends, get out. Like, I really think this is dangerous. And if you can't get out, make yourself safe. I don't know, like go to, a lot of people are just moving to blue states. And I think the continual sorting of America that's been happening over the years, with more conservative people moving to blue, red states and more liberal people moving to blue states, will accelerate. So I think first and foremost, be safe. And secondly, get out if you can.
So there's no turning back for you?
No, I can't imagine. No.
Well, last question then. Since Wheeler started the podcast with how much he enjoys driving to Fort Worth, what are you going to miss most about Fort Worth, Jana?
My neighborhood.
Yeah?
I love my neighbors. I was saying that we have pizza every Friday night, usually, in my backyard.
You cook it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a pizza oven and I make pizza.
And I said we came on the wrong day.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and we help each other with our gardens and with our dogs. And, you know, it's a really, really great neighborhood, which I love so much. I will miss my gardens a lot because I've put a lot of work into them. Mm-hmm. But I'll make a new garden when I get my place in Spain.
My last question for you. So you're going to miss this neighborhood, obviously. You're going to make all new neighbors where you go.
Yeah.
What is the, do you have a sense, even through your husband, of what people are saying there? I mean, they've seen this kind of change. I mean, we've seen this in so many democracies around the world, especially post-COVID inflation era, that they've thrown out the party that was in power by huge numbers.
Yes.
Are people seeing it like that there? What do they say?
So in the month leading up to the election, I had at least 5 WhatsApps a day from friends in Europe saying, oh my God, is he really going to get reelected? And I kept saying, nah, he's not going to get reelected. Mm. That's not going to happen. They're really afraid. They're really afraid. I have friends who said to me, I'm not even checking the news anymore. I just can't bear to look and see what crazy thing he's done. And that is from friends who are British, friends who are French. And you know, by the way, this has gone back and forth because I was contacting my French friends a few months ago going, oh, please tell me Le Pen isn't going to get elected. And they were like, I don't know. I'm really nervous. And, you know, celebrating when that didn't happen. And don't forget, in the Netherlands, the very far right anti-immigrant Geert Wilders got the most number of seats in the House, in the parliament. Now, the democratic system there worked pretty well, and he's not in the government, but you can't ignore, you know, you can't ignore what he called for and won a lot of young voters for that. So it's a very scary time for anyone who's read history. You know, if you read history and you understand that these things are cyclical, that the world goes through phases that are very dark and that are very fascist, then this is a scary time. And most of my friends have read history.
Interesting, though, that you're heading somewhere else and so many people there are expressing the same kinds of fears.
They are.
as you are
yes.
feeling here in the U.S. and yes. you're going there, and yes. it doesn't sound like there's a huge reprieve, except that maybe you buy some time
well,
to see how things shake out.
Although if you look at what happened in France, they did the democratic forces did prevail. If you look at the U.K., Labour got back in. So I think there's more of a balance in Europe. You don't have a character like Trump.
But they're worried about Trump now.
They're very worried about
Trump. And the effects that's going to have
yes,
on
they
them
are worried.
Directly.
Yes, they're very worried. I guess, although one of my friends said the other day, she has a view that this might be that moment like Brexit, where Europe became unified yeah. after that because of the threat. Mm-hmm. So Europe became more unified. I mean, before Brexit, every country in Europe had a party and people who wanted to get out of Europe. After Brexit, everybody was like, oh, never mind. We'll stay in Europe. So she feels like this might be a time of resurgence for European unity and for democracy. So we will see what happens.
These are interesting times we live in.
And even in the UK, yes. there's regret over Brexit, too.
Almost universal.
Clarity, too, though, Jenny, you're not giving up your U.S. citizenship, right?
No. In fact, it's almost impossible to do so, even if I wanted to which I don't.
And you're leaving your investments, retirement account, and stuff like that in the U.S. markets?
Well, that's a good question, because honestly, this house was mostly my pension. And I plan to hold on to it for 10 years, thinking that that would be like enough sure. cash, and then I would buy a place in Spain or whatever. And
you're going to put it in European markets, or we're going to put the
I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a house in Spain, and that again will be my
putting it all in real estate.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I have some small. I don't have a huge. I've been self-employed most of my life, and I don't have a huge amount of pension. I have a small 401k,
yeah.
and I have some European pensions actually.
Nice.
Well, make sure you give us your forwarding address so we know where to find you.
I guess the world's, I'm on Facebook. You can always find me there.
Yeah,
that's where we found you for this episode.
You know, we may drop in one day.
Jenna Sanchez, thanks for having us at your home, and good luck to you. And you know, like I said, you're somebody I've never met before. I've heard a lot of people say they're going to do what you're going to do, but you're actually doing it.
We may have to touch base with you
okay.
after this happens.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us in your house.
All right.
Beautiful place,
Thank
by
you.
The way, if you're looking for a 1930s, what is it called?
Tudor Revival Swoop Roof.
Swoop Roof.
I call it a garden cottage.
Wheeler sounds like he's on the payroll. Are you going to cut in this sale here, Wheeler? Thanks so much, Jana.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Click subscribe and get Y'all-itics every week. Y'all-itics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.